you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 7. I want to talk to you this morning about building your life, all right? And these are passages I felt impressed to bring to us today. They're all going to be familiar. We look at these. I believe this is one of the most important and practical passages in the New Testament, something that Jesus said, and there's so much information in it, and we're going to connect a couple other things to it this morning. But as you're turning there, Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin in verse 24 here in just a couple of minutes. So in these verses, all right, just a couple of statements as we go into this. Jesus teaches us that a life is built. That verse I just read out of Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. When the word house is used in passages like this, it means, in fact, we're going to look in a few minutes over to Proverbs chapter 24, and one translation says a house, it says any enterprise, okay, whether it's a life, whether it's your family, whether it's your business, whatever it is, those things are built with the Lord. So Jesus in this passage is telling us that our life is built, is being built. It's not just, life does not just happen. Sometimes it feels like life just happens, okay? But the reality is, from Jesus' lips, we are, every one of us, are building our lives from the choices that we make each and every day. And there will be one outcome or another, depending on the choices we're making, what we're deciding to do, okay, in our lives. Our lives are being built from the choices we make about the truths that we choose to embrace and take hold of, the priorities, the values that we build into our lives. All those things are being built. We are building our lives. And we're either building them on one foundation or another, and that's what Jesus is going to talk to us about. So essentially, we come down to that the life you have today is the life you've built so far, okay? And the life that you want to have is the life you need to build, okay? The life that you're building today is the life you're going to live in the future. But the life you have today is the life you have built so far. The good news is, for all of us, that because of the redemptive work of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of His Word, we can remodel the parts of our house that we're not happy with so far. Okay, and we've all got them. Some of us have. I can think back on some of the things I tried to build in my life. Gary can attest to this. They were just a disaster. I'm talking about physically building things out of wood. I don't know why. I love wood, but I don't get along with wood. And I tend to butcher it. So anyway, there are parts of our lives that we've made a mess of, okay? The Lord can correct every single one of those. There are promises, that little book's full of them that I just gave away. There are promises for every area of our life. Every room in our house, whether it's our relational life, our marriage, our children, our financial life, our career, our pursuits, even our recreational life, our interests, you know, all of our relationships, obviously our spiritual life. There are promises from God that apply to every single one of those. And what we've talked about this many times, the thing is, those are all given to us. Those promises are made to us. They're all ours, the Bible says, yes and amen in Christ. Jesus bought them, paid for them. We can't earn them. We can't buy them. We can't do anything like that, but we do have to stand in faith toward Him for those promises to be manifested in our lives. And many times we have to contend for those promises to be manifest in our life. Why? Because there's a devil out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy in your life and my life. So here we are. All of this, there are promises for every area of life. And every one of those promises contain blessing for that area of our life. And it's important for us to know my role in that is to continue to exercise faith toward the Lord over those areas of my life and to allow him in to every room in our lives. Okay? Let me make one more statement and then we'll look at the scripture. I say that the life we have today is the life we have built. I believe that's absolutely true. However, there are things that happen to us or that come into our lives that are beyond our control. Okay? Absolutely true. There are things that have affected your life or my life that were other people's decisions or world events or different things. There are many things that affect our lives that we don't have any control over the event, over it happening. Okay? But what's important to realize is that our response to whatever that negative event or thing that happens in our life, our response to it has a much greater long-lasting effect on our lives, for good or for bad, than the event itself. And that is a very countercultural idea in our lives today. There is a whole widespread, I don't want to get off on it because I don't want to talk about it this morning, but there is a widespread feeling, belief that promotes victimhood, that promotes the things that happen to us, we're the result of things that happen to us. That can be true, but it doesn't have to be true because your response to the things that happen in the long run will make a much bigger difference than the thing itself. All of us have negative stuff come into our lives. All of us. And we can pull up, you know, people with different kinds of testimonies that have had horrible things go on in their life, and they've ended up under those things and shaped by those things, or others had the same thing or worse, and they're thriving in God. Our response is what's so important. Does that make sense to you? Okay. All right. So Matthew chapter 7, hope you found it, verse 24. It says, and this is from the Amplified, it says, so everyone, this is Jesus speaking, who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. Okay? Here's the first person. Here's the first type of life or foundation. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And I want you to notice, Jesus is going to use a couple different terms here. In this beginning part, he says, this person is building their house upon the rock. Okay, that term built is one term. But it says here that when we hear the word and apply it to our lives, it says that's sensible. Okay, it's sensible. There again, we may not think there are things in the word of God, the way to handle something that happens in your life, okay, it's actually sensible to apply the word. It is sensible to give into areas of lack in your life. Doesn't make sense in the natural, but it makes sense in the spiritual because it's a spiritual principle. If I have a lack of friends, the Bible says, go show yourself friendly, okay? If I have a lack of finance, the Bible says, so find a place to give. Okay, if I need mercy, if I'm not experiencing mercy, it says give mercy away. Okay, we give and we receive back more. Well, that's a spiritual principle. That makes no sense in the world. In the world, we want to hoard whatever it is that we think we need. This second person, it says, this is a person who hears the word, hears his words, but does not apply them, does not do them, does not actually act them out. And it says he's like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. So, of course, we've already said the house here represents our lives. And the interesting thing to me is there are just two differences between these two builders or these two foundations. The one is just hearing the word, So that person is hearing the word. That's pretty important. Okay, that person probably has a Bible in their house. They probably read it once in a while. Okay, but the other person is hearing and applying the word. They're actually taking what the Lord speaks to their hearts, what they get out of the word of God, and they're figuring out, we can't just do this all one day. This takes some intentionality in our life. We're figuring out, okay, here's this situation. What in God's word applies to this situation, and how can I actually apply it? How can I apply it to my relationships, my work life, my, you know, my stinker of a boss, my, you know, whatever it might be? How can I actually do what the word says? And that's part of, huge part of what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's a coach. He goes along with us every day. He'll remind you of what Jesus has said, and he will show us, teach us how to actually apply that. So there's that difference. That's the main difference between the two. The second difference is the outcome. They both went through the exact same storms in life. They both had the same things come against them. Just because we're walking with Jesus doesn't mean. In fact, Jesus told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, in the world, you're going to have distress. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. Stuff's going to happen. We're on planet Earth. We're not in heaven. Okay, so stuff's going to happen. But he said, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. The Amplified there says something like, I've deprived it of the ability to do you real harm. Okay, so the outcome, the storms are the same. They're both hearing the word, but one actually applies it, one doesn't. And the outcome of that life is completely different. Okay? One goes through the storms, the other one is knocked down and destroyed by the storms. Let me give you a couple more verses. 1 John 4:4, I think we just looked at this last week or the week before, says that he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And that's actually in context talking about the Spirit of God in you is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. So we can't even run around and say, oh, it's just the devil. The devil's too big, you know, or people are making bad decisions or this or that. No, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. There's a spirit behind some of the things that are, some of those storms that are coming into your life. You have authority over the devil in the name of Jesus, under his blood. Okay, in that place. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. How many of you are born of God in this place this morning? How many of you have made Jesus Lord of your life? You are victorious over the world. That victory lives, Jesus' victory lives on the inside of you. It says, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Okay? So we don't have a place for saying, you know, our life is being built by the choices that we are making. So one life is built upon an occasional, this is what this passage means, an occasional peripheral hearing of the word. Okay? And so, again, I think this person that doesn't hear and do but just hears, they're hearing the word. So they're probably in church sometimes. They probably have a Bible at home. They may have. I've run into lots of people over the years, and they say, well, I've read the Bible cover to cover. Okay, but they read it like a book. They didn't read it to engage with the author, with the person of the author, like we know to do. And I'm not being critical. It's just the way it is. You know, I've read it cover to cover. Well, I've read lots of books cover to cover, and I didn't apply anything that they said on the inside of them. But the Bible isn't that kind of book. So this may be that kind of person. I've known people, I've told you before, I've actually interacted with pastors who said you can't take anything in the Bible literally. It's basically a book of fables, and they have some good life lessons in them. And so, you know, you can take that. They don't realize it's the living word of God. It feeds us. All right, and it becomes in us. It lives in us and changes us and lives. The word lives out through us, changes our life. So we have that person. The other builder is intentional. They're going to the word, and it's relational. That's probably the most important part. They see their time in the word of God, hearing the words of Jesus. You know, whether it's here in church, whether it's you, You know, I almost always, when I get in the car, it's, you know, living here, it's only 15 minutes from our house to here, okay? But I plug in a podcast from one of the number of teachers that I feel really feed me. I plug that in. It might take me, most people I listen to do what we do here and preach, you know, 40, 45, 50 minutes an hour sometimes. And so it takes me several trips to get through a teaching. And a lot of times I just turn around and listen to the same one again if I'm getting fed by it. But I don't always do that. Not every time I get in the car, but most of the time I use that time to get some feeding, to get the word, okay? We have our morning time. We have our devotional time. Most of us do that on a very regular basis, almost every day, probably not every single day of our lives, but almost every day. We're intentional about getting into the word, and we're expecting the word to speak to us. And our intention is, when I hear what God's saying, okay, then I start talking to the Holy Spirit, Lord, and sometimes a situation comes up in your heart, usually a relationship, you know, and it comes up in your heart and it's like, okay, Lord, I need help. I see what you're saying. How do I do this? How do I apply this? Okay. And he will show you. And he'll also, you know, you get going through your day and you forget and he's telling you something, and you're going through your day, and you run into something, and he'll remind you, okay, here it is. Here's the place to apply that. Try it. Do this, you know? So this person, this other person, is intentional about hearing and applying. And Jesus, I told you, uses two different terms here about building our lives on the rock. And the first one is, he says that person who hears the word and applies it built their house on the rock. Okay, and that word build, it means to, you got to go to Bible school for this. It means to build something, okay? It means to construct something. It means to build up and establish something and make it firm. It means to build or produce, this is the important part, it means to build or produce something through continuous action. Okay, so this is a habitual lifestyle for this person, hearing and doing the word, hearing and doing. Again, I'm not saying none of us are perfect in this. It's why we have the coach, okay? That's why we have the coach. We just need to listen to the coach, okay? So this term build, this beginning one, it's talking about a lifestyle. It's talking about building habits of hearing and doing the word, being intentional, being aware of that, okay? And then it says when those storms came, then it says the storms came, the winds blew, beat against that house. It did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So that little everyday building, that little everyday construction project, building a little here, building a little there, letting the Lord lead us along like that, when the storm came, became something. It says it was founded on the rock. It means that his life or their life was already grounded on hearing and doing the word. It was grounded. It was attached. It was well secured. That word founded means it was well secured. Okay? When the storm came, it was already well secured. It uses the word, it was established upon the rock. Okay? And that term established, that implies there being some history to this, some ongoing momentum to this. And again, so the everyday choice in life, hear and do, hear and apply, okay? That choice in life over time caused the life to be grounded. So when the pressure came, when the wind came, the flood came, they were already attached. Okay, and that's why it's so important. I think, especially as Americans in these days, we think of things in terms of quick, spontaneous, big move of God, you know, an event in my life, and those are great when they happen. But the strong, stable life is built one day at a time, probably one moment at a time, one choice at a time, one decision at a time, little by little by little. And it doesn't look, here's the thing, those two lives being built, okay, they looked exactly alike on the outside, probably. they look pretty much the same. This person's going to work and doing life and dealing with their kids. This person's going to work, doing life, dealing with their kids, whatever. They look the same until the storm comes. Then they don't look the same anymore. Okay? One has the internal strength. It is established. It is secure. It is hooked to something immovable, which is the Word of God. The other is not. So until the storm comes, and this is true, lives can look really good until the storm comes. Then one has the ability to go through that and not lose their business, lose their life, lose their marriage, lose their kids, lose their finances, lose whatever it is. You know, their life doesn't get wiped out. They go through the storm. It's not easy. It's not fun. But they have something, they are attached to something immovable. That's what that word founded means. And I believe that having our life founded, grounded, securely attached, having that life is the result of little daily choices. Little consistent daily choices to plug into God, hear what he says, ask his help, we need his help to apply, but then apply it. Okay? No matter how hard it looks, it's sensible, it's smart, it's wise to apply it. Is this making sense to you? Okay, so this is not talking about building a facade. Okay, you know, a facade is just something you put on the front of a building to make it look really pretty, or, you know, but it's small. A lot of times they blow down in the wind. It's just small. It's fake. It's essentially fake. Makes the building look really nice from the outside, but there's no real meat to it. This term founded and this term built, it's not talking about building a facade, it's talking about building something strong, resilient, immovable. This is actually when Jesus says that we're building our lives, it's the same word that he used when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to come against it, will not be able to overpower it. I will build my church. Same word used about us building our lives. Upon the rock. Does this make sense to you? Okay. So we need to take hold of that just steady, ongoing lifestyle. Those little daily feeding on the Lord is what makes a life strong. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 24. You still with me? Okay. Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4. I have two versions up here. These are, again, just great practical scriptures. The first one is the Amplified. These are the same verses. It says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family, you name it, okay, built. You know, this is, what are the components, okay, of a strong life? Well, through wisdom, godly wisdom is the first one. A house is built by understanding. That's the second one. It is established on a sound and good foundation. By knowledge, I love this, shall its chambers or rooms of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Okay, so we have wisdom, we have understanding, and we have knowledge. The book of Proverbs uses those terms with one another a lot. Okay, in the Old Living Bible, this Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 read this way. Any enterprise is built by wise planning. It becomes strong through common sense. I love that. We're going to look at that in a minute. Profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Okay? Any enterprise, anything we're building. And again, if we're not building, we are building, actually. If we don't know we're building, then we're kind of just letting life happen. Okay? And honestly, life doesn't actually happen. It's being built whether you know it or not, okay? So skillful and godly wisdom, okay? Says that we're building this house, we're building our life through skillful and godly wisdom. Okay, first of all, the book of Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning point of both wisdom and knowledge, okay? And it tells us that God gives wisdom and understanding. So all of these things come from the Lord, and the starting point is the fear of the Lord, which means I have reverence for God. So if I see that he says something, I take that as the truth, as I put that first place in my life. This is I don't care how much my circumstances don't look like that's true, or how much the world doesn't believe it's true, or how much, you know, whatever people come up with all these arguments, you know, I don't care. That is the truth. That's having the fear of the Lord, the reverence for God. I'm going to apply that out of reverence for the Lord in my life. So skillful and godly wisdom. Wisdom is the correct and timely application of truth. All right? Truth would fall under the category of knowledge. Knowledge means we're getting the facts. Okay? But you can have all kinds of knowledge and not be wise, because having facts doesn't make you wise. Having knowledge doesn't make you wise. Applying truth in God's eyes makes you wise. That's wisdom. The correct and timely, sometimes it's like, okay, I see what I'm supposed to do. When do I need to do it, God? When do I need to have this conversation? Because if I do it too soon, I'm going to blow this relationship up. If I do it too late, the other person may have blown their life up. This is usually what I'm dealing with. What's the time? God, I need you to set up a time. I need you to give me the opportunity to have this conversation with this person. I mean, you could apply this many different ways, but the correct and timely application of truth, okay? So again, just having truth doesn't make you wise. Applying truth is what wisdom is. And I mean, an example that came to my mind, I can have the knowledge of the fact that our car is built to run on gasoline, okay? But if I go down to the gas station, I go, well, that's what the manufacturer says. I'm going to put diesel in it, you know? I'm just going to put diesel in it. I don't see why it wouldn't work that my way, okay? I want a diesel, so I'm going to put diesel in my car. It won't work. I've never done it. Actually, I have a brother who accidentally put diesel in his motorcycle one time. He's a big fancy motorcycle mechanic, knows everything about those motorcycles, but he put diesel in it. He pumped it out before he started it, I think. There's a long story to that, but anyway, I don't get that many opportunities to hassle my brother. So, in the new, in the Living Bible, it says wise planning. So this is planning to gain and apply God's wisdom. Okay, what this is telling us is a strong life doesn't happen haphazardly. It doesn't happen by accident. We have to think about our life. We have to think about the word as we're hearing it and how it applies. Okay, and we have to decide how and when am I going to go to the Lord? When am I going to have time in my life? When am I going to establish time in my life to be with the Lord and hear what he's saying to me? Okay, but our life is built through the wisdom of God, applying the word of God. It says through understanding, it becomes established. We already talked about that. It's like the word founded. It means it's attached to something securely. Okay, but that word understanding is insight, get this, insight into how life actually works and how it doesn't work from God's perspective. That's what that word understanding means. It's insight, and again, where'd it come from? God gives it to us. Insight, okay, relationships don't work when both people are trying to live. We see this all the time, not being critical. It's just a fact where we live. I see it all the time. People trying to live two separate individual lives together, okay? But they are guarding and protecting my life. I'm not going to yield anything that is important to me because that's good for her. I'm not going to do that. You know, we're going to make this work. I'm all me. And she's all her, and it doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work, because God designed relationships, any level of relationship, to be a partnering together, a laying down of one's life for one another, you know, and all that gets sorted out over time. But if you're not going to do that. God designed relationship to work like that, period. So when we take up this other idea and then we try to live in the same house and sadly we produce children, well then, you know, we've got a mess on our hands later and we see it. And I'm not, again, I sound critical maybe. I'm not being critical. It breaks my heart to see people do this. It hurts. It hurts them. It hurts their families. It hurts their kids. Okay, so understanding is the insight God gives us into how life actually works. How does this actually work? How does my relationship or my relationship to work life, my work life, how does that actually work well? And then I apply those things. Okay, so through understanding, our life becomes grounded. It becomes attached in God's word. That word understanding in Proverbs is actually the opposite of foolishness. Okay, when it talks about in Proverbs, it uses the term fool or foolishness a lot. And what it means is it says a fool says there is no God. So when we live as if there is no God, I don't have any accountability to anybody or anything else. It's all about me. When we live that way, the Bible calls that foolish. Okay? And that's the opposite of this word understanding. So when you're reading through Proverbs, you can kind of think about that. And this term understanding implies having common sense. Spiritual common sense. Well, you know what? I can't put diesel in my car. I can't put selfishness in my marriage. I can't hoard and expect to increase. You know, it's spiritual common sense. Okay? And we all know the little quote, common sense isn't that common, but we can have it. Okay? Does that make sense to you? You still with me? Good. Okay, so finally, that word knowledge, all right? That word means it's a learning process. It's a gaining, continually growing in your knowledge of God. Okay, so it says through knowledge, through, again, this is a lifestyle. It enables us, it is the ability to judge between what's a godly path and what isn't. And as we gain knowledge of that and apply it through wisdom, I love this. It says that all the rooms of our house can be filled with pleasant and precious riches, or another translation says rare and beautiful treasures. Okay, my family room can be filled with rare and beautiful treasures. I think of this verse a lot when I'm praying for you guys. I think about the relationships, the people that I've known throughout my life because of being involved in the church, and rare and beautiful treasures. If I'm thinking about you from a godly perspective, then that's what comes up in my heart. These are rare and beautiful treasures. Okay, and the same can be true every area of your life. Rare and beautiful treasures. That's John, you know, Jesus said, "I want you to have an abundant life." Okay, let's look at. Can you do one more with me? One more passage. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Again, very, very familiar verses of scripture, but we're talking about how our life is built from the choices that we make, right? And so, here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life." Okay, great passage. Therefore, okay, there's life, there's death. I'm making it clear. There's blessing, there's cursing. Choose life. This is God's desire for us. Choose life. And what do we say? Life is built little choices. Daily choices, moment-to-moment choices. Why do we want to choose life? So that you and your descendants may live and may love the Lord your God. So these choices aren't just affecting us. They're affecting the generations that are coming after us. May live and may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him. Why? For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell, that means thrive, in the land or the life which I have, which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? We can thrive in the inheritance that we have because we're in Christ. All right? So, how does that work? Okay, on a daily basis. Number one, obviously, is we have to choose Jesus. We have to make Jesus the Lord of our life, to enter in to this relationship with him. This is what the Bible teaches. He's the door. He's the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we put faith in him. We accept him as Lord and Savior. We're saying, you know, we say that Lord and Savior. Well, you know, we can't get just stuck on Savior, redemption. What about Lord? What about submission of my choices, submission of the way I apply all of this? That's making him Lord, okay? But we just place faith in him. We believe he's the Son of God. We believe he died for our sins, and we make a choice from our heart to invite him into our life and say, I belong to you, and I accept what you did for me on that cross, and I accept you, I receive you as Lord and Savior. And from that point on, we become children of God, and he begins to work in us. Okay, so we've got to choose him first. But then I just wrote down a few things here, and we'll be done. When I'm, you know, navigating through daily life, okay, I'm going to choose faith over fear. All right, when something threatens my life, and it happens all the time, something comes in, it's like, oh boy, that freaks me out a bit about how things are going to be, what's going to happen, okay? I need to step back, and I need to step into faith. I need to step into trusting God, seeking him. Lord, what do you say about this, and how do you want me to pray into that? Because that looks pretty scary, but you know what? I'm secure in you. So we choose faith over fear. We choose integrity. And this is just such a simple one. Proverbs tells us that integrity can be one of the greatest forms of guidance from God in our lives. You just choose the path of the most integrity, okay? It says the righteous are led by their integrity, all right? What does that mean? It means I'm going to choose to tell the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. I'm not going to make stuff up. You know, I may have to think about how I'm going to frame a conversation, but I'm going to tell the truth, okay? And if we can't live with truth between us, then, you know, this relationship may not work, okay? I'm going to keep my word even to my own hurt. Gave a commitment, things change, looks ugly, still going to keep my word. I'm going to get into that thing, and we're going to discuss what adjustments we can make, but I'm going to keep my word, okay? I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. I'm just going to do it. That's integrity, okay? These are, like I say, these are just a few things I thought of. I'm going to choose, this one's important, what I'm going to allow my mind to think about and dwell on. We have to do this. We have to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. You can't dwell on fear. You can't dwell on uncertainty. You can't dwell on anger or jealousy or the past or any of those things. We have to get our mind set on the Lord and keep it there. And that is that's a constant battle. But still, if I'm going to make good choices every day, I got to start the moment I wake up. We all started building our life the moment we woke up this morning, by what we said, by what we thought, by what we declared about this day. Okay, every day when we wake up. So I'm going to choose what I'm going to allow my mind to think about or to dwell on. I'm going to listen to the self-talk going on the inside of me. And when it contradicts the word of God, when it says you're a loser, you're worthless, you can never measure up, you're no good, when it says that kind of thing that contradicts the word of God, I'm going to turn that around and begin to talk inside and outside from the word of God, okay? It's never going to work, you're a failure, there's no future for you, those are all lies, and I'm not going to allow that to continue, that voice to continue to go on the inside of me. I'm going to choose to forgive the unforgivable. It's a toughie. But you got to choose forgiveness before you're going to be able to walk in forgiveness. You got to choose forgiveness before you're going to have any emotional connection to forgiveness. You got to choose it by faith, pray over it, keep declaring it, and ask the Lord to work it in you. Okay? You're not going to be able to just do it. Eventually, you can get there emotionally, but you got to choose it first. I'm going to choose generosity over withholding, okay? When things look scary, I'm going to keep giving. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose agape love, okay? Which means I'm going to choose to value people, even the people I vehemently disagree with. There are going to be people you disagree with. I always just say in my heart, that's okay. They have the right to be wrong, okay? And go on. But really, you know, I'm and this is something I'm working on, is because in this divided culture, we all have opinions. Some of them are right, some of them aren't. But we all have opinions. But the more important thing is that we be able to love people that we disagree with. And right now, we're getting challenged. I think everybody is being challenged with that. How do we love people that we vehemently disagree with, lifestyle or philosophy or whatever? The kingdom is more important than all this other stuff. We got to love people. Don't have to agree with them. Just got to love them. They have the right to be wrong. Choose, this is the last one, okay? I'm going to choose to celebrate other people's blessings in the face of my own need, okay? Not going to let jealousy get in. I'm not going to start doubting God because I'm not experiencing something and somebody else got it. Instead, I'm going to just celebrate that they got that blessing, because that means God is in the blessing business and what he did for them. He's no respecter of persons. He can do that for me. And I am not going to allow things like hatred and jealousy and anger to dominate my life. I've come far enough in life that it's like, I'm not going to spend my time that way. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to wrestle with everybody. I'm not going to be angry about everything. I'm just not. What a waste of time. You can have strong convictions, strong values, strong beliefs, and stand for them, but not allow those types of things into your life. Did you get anything out of this today? All right, let's stand up and pray today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God doesn't hear our prayers unless we stand, so, you know, this is just what we got to do. We got to rock, too. Let's rock. Sorry. Thank you, Lord. Father, God, I thank you so much for your involvement in the building process that each of us are in. And I thank you for revealing this truth to us, that, Lord, we are making choices every single day that are building the life we're going to be living in. Lord, this is the house we're going to live in. So, Father, help us to build it well. Help us to take hold of the right materials. You know every one of us. You know our lives. You know our background. You know the things we've had to fight and the things that have been easy for us. Lord, you know all of that, and you are the builder, Lord, because we take you, we receive you, and we receive the Holy Spirit, and we receive your word to build a life that glorifies you. It's great for us to live in. We enjoy living in it. But Father, the real point is, does it glorify you? And so, Father, we need your help in that area. I thank you so much, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, who is our coach, who walks along with us. He is our foreman. Lord, you walk along with us, and you teach us, and you train us, and you remind us what the Word of God says. You even bring the Word of God up that we don't know we know, Lord, that you bring up, Holy Spirit, the Word of God on the inside of us. And we choose today, Lord, that we will choose life, Lord. And I just ask you for that personal work in every one of us, right where we are today, to help us remodel what needs to be remodeled and build for the future. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So listen, you came to church today, and there's some extra good food out there this morning. And so eat it and think of the people who missed out, because they're, who knows where, gallivanting around the country. And we're just going to eat it and make them jealous. Okay? All right. Now, we love everybody that's traveling. They need to get home safe, right? Okay, let's say it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Go out there and be the church.
You're listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.